It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. It is, It's good to have you here. It really is. I'm excited to always have you guys here, and I appreciate it. I guess instead of saying I'm excited, I'm very grateful that you guys support us so very much. It's it is humbling and heartwarming, and I totally appreciate it. I wanted to start today's quote of the day with: service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth, by the late, great Muhammad Ali. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. I don't know. I might say maybe it's the deposit you pay for heaven. I don't know. Anyway, so service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth, by the late, great Muhammad Ali. And, I think later on, as he moved out of boxing and to other arenas, he did serve his community. Speaking of those who serve their community, today on the show, we have Francis Jackson. Francis Jackson is an attorney who specializes in disability law for those seeking veterans disability benefits, as well as Social Security disability benefits. He's a founding partner of Jackson McNichol, and he has been featured on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox network affiliates around the country. He's most recently appeared as a guest of Ben Glass on the Consumer Advocate Show, discussing benefits for veterans and Social Security disability benefits, and how his practice allows him to make a difference in the lives of those people facing disabilities. He has been quoted in USA Today and is listed in Cambridge Who's Who's. Mr. Jackson was honored by the National Academy of Bestselling Authors with a Quillie Award in September of 2012 for his contribution as a joint author to the Amazon bestselling book, Protect and Defend, where he wrote about protecting one's rights to veterans' disability compensation. In 2017, Mr. Jackson was inducted into America's Most Trusted Lawyers for his outstanding work in disability law. For more information, you can visit veteransbenefits.com. Francis Jackson, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
You know what? I have to say the same thing. I always appreciate you stopping by, and I appreciate the great work that you guys do there at Jackson McNichol, serving our veterans and serving those individuals who need help with their Social Security disability benefits. So it's always good to have you on the show. And, of course, a lot's happened since last time you were on the show, and so I'm eager to get your thoughts on this. First and foremost, what do you think the impact of Director Shulkin being fired from the VA?
I wish I knew, Bert. The short-term impact, I think, is pretty clear. As you know, the VA has been through a series of shifts. Shinseki got fired in 2014 over the issue of wait times and hospitals being fudged by some of the hospital directors. And then McDonald, of course, went out with President Obama. And Shulkin, who looked like he was going to be a kind of a steady hand at the tiller and kind of keep things on course, has now been fired by President Trump. And I think the short-term impact is just that the agency continues to be disorganized and demoralized in ways that a more consistent approach from the top would avoid. But it's hard to tell what the long-term impact is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess one of the things is Shulkin can take some solace in the fact that, you know, there's so many people that are fired by Trump, it's no longer shocking anymore. It's just, you know, at least he – go ahead.
it's almost like this is an extension of his TV show. You're fired, you know?
It's exactly right. Okay, so it's in a scenario like this, who's running the VA now, and what significance, if any, does that have?
Well, they brought over a guy by the name of Robert Wilkie, from the Defense Department to act as the interim acting secretary. And so far, at least, it appears that he's planning to kind of follow the same course that that Shulkin was on. He's been to the Hill and to support the amendments that they've tried to make to kind of stabilize the choice program, which, if you'll recall, is the largest of the several VA programs that allows for treatment of veterans at the VA's expense, but outside VA facilities by private physicians. And they've, as you may remember from some of our previous discussions about it, they've had a lot of problems with that program. It's run by independent contractors that contract with the VA, and it's been a mess in several ways. It's repeatedly over budget, and it's currently over budget. They're projecting they'll run out of money again before the end of the fiscal year, so they're back to Congress asking for more money. And it has also been the subject of lots of complaints that the providers were not being paid promptly, and as a result, a lot of them are no longer willing to participate, and that it was difficult for veterans to get appointments scheduled through this program. And so it's just been a frustrating situation. But Shulkin was solidly in favor of the program, felt that it could be improved and brought into line both financially and in terms of delivery of services. And the acting director, Mr. Wilkie, seems to be taking that same approach. So at least at the moment, there seems to be consistency, and that's always a good thing when you're talking about an agency as big as this one. So so far so good, I guess, is the short version.
Sure. Yeah, and this is we've talked about this multiple times. One of the biggest issues with the VA is that it's such a huge, massive department. I think it's, you know, it's the second largest in our government, and really it's just what do you call it? It's just a giant undertaking, and I just don't think they have a good grasp of what it's going to take. So let me ask you this: I kind of get your thoughts on this. As interim acting director, what's your thought? Can it be, can any interim acting type director have any real effect? I mean, because it seems like everybody's holding their breath and things really can't move forward until somebody steps in, and, you know, whether it's Wilkie or somebody else like Dr. Jackson, until that position is solidified, I'm thinking it's going to be very difficult to be effective. What's your thoughts?
Well, it seems to me that's there's certainly a lot of truth in what you're saying, Bert. The thing that I'm seeing so far is that Wilkie seems to be determined to keep on the same track that Shulkin was on. And I think as long as that happens, probably there's no real big downside. You know, it seems to me that the real risk when you have an interim director is that suddenly they want to change course, and then you appoint somebody new and there's yet another change of course. And with something as big as the VA, it's like turning the Titanic, you know, it takes a long time. So I think as long as he stays on the same course, which he seems to be doing, then probably there's no great downside. He's already been to the Hill and supported the legislation that's pending that did not get included in the budget bill to repair the choice program and to make some other changes. So So far, I think on balance, you know, it's an okay thing. It's not, as you pointed out, with interim leadership, it's difficult for people to really make much progress. But the real risk in interim leadership is that there's significant decline. It looks like that's not, at least obviously, happening. You know, you can never be sure from the outside, but there's no indication that things are suddenly going downhill with Shulkin's absence, which is a plus given everything that's
right.
happening in the government generally.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this. I had briefly mentioned Dr. Jackson, and so what's happening with his appointment?
Well, it looked like that was kind of going along, and then all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, there apparently have been significant allegations about his past behavior that have caused the folks on the Senate committee, both Republican and Democrat, to put the brakes on and want further information. So it's hard to tell. There have been attempts to clarify what's going on, and so far the committee declined to comment. And the White House hasn't commented either, except to say that Admiral Jackson still has the president's support. But as we know, the president's support is sometimes. So we'll just have to see. The big issue that I see with Jackson, and I just want to be clear, Ronnie Jackson is not a relative. Not to be confused with my brother Robert Jackson, who was ambassador to Ghana. Ronnie is no relation. But aside from that, you know, this is a guy who has focused his entire career on direct medical practice and never supervised any sort of large organization, never directed any sort of large groups of people. So it's really a strange choice in a lot of ways for running a huge bureaucracy like the VA. But as you know, it appears that the president tends to focus on personal relationships as the basis for his appointments, and he has a relationship, obviously, with Dr. Jackson, who is the White House physician and has been for some years. And so that seems to be the basis of his determination that this guy can step up and run the second largest department in the government. I'm not impressed that that's necessarily a great qualification, but that's kind of where we are. In terms of what these allegations are, all that people have said is that there are allegations relating to improper conduct in various stages of his career. And so the confirmation that was supposed to happen tomorrow is delayed, and nobody's willing to talk about what's actually going on. One of the senators, Blumenthal, said that at this point we're dealing with some, quote, fairly raw allegations, and we need to know if there's factual support for it. And, you know, it's just up in the air. So nobody
sure.
really, nobody's really saying much. But I thought it was interesting. You made the comment before about the difficulty running something as big as the VA, and the Senate Majority Whip, Senator Corin, the Republican whip, said to reporters on Monday that I'm not sure anyone can run the VA, which I think is probably closer to accurate than a lot of other comments.
Yeah, you know, and it may be a situation where they end up having to split up the VA somehow. Maybe you have the director of VA, and the director of VA has a couple of people that are going to split up some of those duties because it is so big. I mean, you know, it's just overwhelmingly a huge thing. And you know, it's just like we have the Joint Chief of Staffs, we may need some kind of joint, I don't know, Joint Chief of the VA or something. I don't know how that's going to work out, but it is a huge thing. And, you know, interestingly enough, while I was, I happened to see what Trump had to say about Dr. Jackson, and just 15 minutes ago, New York Times posted this: Trump hints that Ronnie Jackson might withdraw VA nomination amid criticism. So we may never find out exactly what his work environment was like. He might just withdraw and avoid the whole thing. We'll see what happens. But you know what? I want to visit this with you. You know, this because, again, with Dr. Shulkin, he wanted to privatize all or part of the VA. You mentioned that a little bit. You know, what is he saying now? I mean, now that he's removed from the VA, has he changed his position? Is that still something that he would look to do?
Actually, Bert, you had a little slip there. Shulkin is the one that was opposing privatization. I know you meant to say that. But what's going on now is Shulkin is saying pretty bluntly that the reason he was forced out is that there are some very rich and influential people who want to privatize the VA. As you can imagine, there are people who are making lots of money from running programs like Medicare, and there are some who are reported to be practically panting at the possibility that they might be able to do that with the VA. So, who knows? I don't know where that's all going to go. So far, at least, the president has not publicly endorsed the notion of privatizing the VA. And as you mentioned before, Shulkin had very strong views about it. Nothing has come out from the acting director, or the acting secretary, Mr. Wilkie, to suggest that he's supporting privatization. And, you know, it's just a mixed bag. I mean, I don't think that there's much likelihood that privatizing the VA will make it run better. My impression has been that privately run hospitals around the country, for-profit hospitals, have not done well as a general rule. And
right.
That large government-run insurance programs like Medicare and Medicaid have had significant difficulties, and so I'm hard pressed to see that there's any magic in privatization other than the folks who think they see a way for their companies to benefit financially from it. So I just don't know where that's all going. But Shulkin so far has said that that's the reason that he was forced out, and that the president is leaning in that direction. Now, whether or not the president could get the congressional support to do that, I really don't know. I'm hard-pressed to see that getting through the Senate. And for that matter, I don't really have a sense that it's an easy sell in the House. But it's just hard to know. The kind of the cross-currents there are confusing. As you know, when it comes to the veterans issues, there is lots of political attention from both House and Senate members. There are large national veterans organizations that have pretty solid constituencies that they can bring to bear. At the same time, in the current administration, there seems to be a lot of belief in the private sector and in making money from government operations into the private sector. So I don't think we can tell yet. I think we have to wait and see how this plays out. But certainly, I think privatization is an issue that's percolating in the background here. Whether it will make it to the foreground is another question.
Yeah. And you know what you said there, you're so correct, because you look at all the issues that Medicaid has had with people, abusing it and double billing or triple billing and all that other stuff. And you know the same thing is going to happen if we go that same route. People are going to abuse the Veterans Administration. You're going to watch that thing just spiral out of control, and it's just the way it is.
I'm afraid that's true, Bert. I mean, we're already spending a lot of money on the VA, and I don't see any scenario where privatizing the VA delivers the same services for less money. I'm just not seeing that.
Yeah, and you know, two things are going to happen. First of all, we've already discussed it's going to be abused. And second of all, I think our veterans, in some cases, because now it's in the hands of people who absolutely need to make a profit from it, because that's exactly what they do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes they do it at the cost of providing top-notch service to our veterans. And so they're going to, you know, it's going to be abused in both ways. And of course, our veterans are the ones who are going to be hurt.
That's certainly my fear.
Yeah. You know, anyway, so if anybody out there has questions regarding other veterans' disabilities, maybe you've been denied, or you can reach out to veteransbenefits.com, veteransbenefits.com. And Francis and his team will give you some tips and point you in the right direction and help you out if they can. Francis Jackson, again, thank you so much for servicing our veterans. It's always good to have you on the show, my friend. Looking forward to having you back soon.
Thanks, Bert. I look forward to being here.
All righty. Good stuff there from attorney Francis Jackson, who specializes in veterans' disability. So first of all, I want to say, if you're a veteran, thank you so much for serving our country. Second of all, if you have questions about your benefits, if you have been denied a claim, if you're concerned about your family reaching or receiving their benefits, any questions at all that you might have, any concerns, any doubts, check out veteransbenefits.com, veteransbenefits.com, and get the help that you rightfully deserve. Do not suffer in silence. You know, you've already helped out our country. You deserve these benefits, and Francis Jackson and his team do wonderful, wonderful work. And some of these cases, you know, can sometimes take up to a decade to get through the system. And you need somebody you need a team like Francis Jackson and his team to help you navigate this. It is just crazy. You know, there's a lot of red tape. And so, again, check out veteransbenefits.com. If you or a loved one have questions about veterans' benefits, do not suffer in silence and check out these guys. I've known Francis now for several years, and the guys, you can tell, first of all, he loves the veterans, and second of all, he's just a good-hearted individual. So check out his team and let them help you. As always, my friends, thank you so much for being here. Please, let's share this show with anybody you know that might need some help regarding veterans' benefits. As always, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.